I'm just trying to change the world here, people.
Oh, really?
The Facebooking and the tweeting and the Instagramming, all that would not exist without our understanding of science.
So it's amazing how you use that as an insult.
You mean true for you is different from true for anybody else?
Yeah, absolutely, because I can't
think either got to be true or not.
I can't, no.
Good evening, citizens of Netlandia. Welcome back to Aurelia Radio. This is show 128, recorded Friday, October 14th, 2016, for your edutainment, where we dismantle the current events through mostly rational conversation that should make you go, oh, really? I'm your host, Andy Cowan, and I have with me one of my usual suspects. I've got Stephen Griffith with me. Welcome, sir.
Welcome. Good to be here. I will say, unfortunately, we're having a continuous gremlin. I did not hear that wonderful intro music.
That's fantastic. I'm not a bit surprised.
Matthew has left us with so many interesting issues.
Yeah. We had to skip two of the last shows. So we're out of sequence here. So terribly sorry to leave you in the lurch there. But hopefully you were following the Facebook page and also any happenings out at the webpage, orellyradio.com, O-R-L-Y-R-A-D-I-O.com. We've got, thanks to so many gremlins, I really don't have a good show already put together. So it's really just going to be conversation about what is going to pop up. I mean, we've had presidential debates. We've had vice presidential debates. We've had a hurricane. And we have, we always, at least for this, have the Donald.
Good old Don. Constant source of comedy and absolute outright existential terror.
Yes. Definitely the existential terror. That's for sure. So I don't know what to really think about him anymore.
I try not to think about him as much as possible, and I keep failing.
Well, I'm trying to figure out. Nothing's changed about the person that is Donald Trump. Nothing's changed.
That's true.
He is the same person that we saw on The Apprentice. The same guy. So how did he get all the way up to, oh my God, how many days are there from now until the election?
About 3 weeks. Yep. Remember out there, people, vote. I don't care who you are.
Oh, my God. So,
vote. And for the love of the gods, no matter what, remember to vote for House and Senate, because if by some horrific satanic ritual, some horrible chthonic ritual, Lovecraftian gods being called down on this, Donald gets in.
Yeah.
The way to stop any of the stuff from going through and, you know, ruining your life is to make sure that we flip the House and Senate.
Speaking of voting, I have in my hand, opened up just now, my early voting vote-by-mail ballot. Official general election ballot, November 8th, 2016, as opposed to 28th, which is what what Donald had told his followers. I hope
they should all vote the 28th. They should all vote the 28th.
They should. They absolutely should. Interesting. Okay.
I wouldn't mind going down some of the things that are on the Florida ballot for those people that are out there and may have some similar things going through your states.
Yeah.
But also for some Florida voters, there's some stuff in there that
it's just
are deceptive that you really should know.
Page and a half, if that. You know, as far as column inches, you wouldn't get paid a whole lot for this. So, president and vice president, we've got Donald J. Trump, Michael R. Pence, Hillary Rodham Clinton, Timothy Michael Caine. Why did they get their full middle names and the other ones didn't? Interesting. Huh.
We go by what the actual candidate is preferred to be known by or what they are officially registered as?
I guess. That must be it. And then we've got Gary Johnson and Bill Weld. Daryl L. Castle and Scott N. Bradley.
What party?
I believe that's the Constitution Party.
C-O-N?
C-P-F.
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 Let's see.
For the Green Party, we have Jill Stein and Ajamu Baraka. And for REF, Reform Party?
Yeah, that's Reform.
Okay, we have...
CPF is the Constitution Party of Florida.
I thought it was Constitution Party, so Daryl L. Castle. And then we've got, for the referendum party, or Reform Party, Rocky De La Fuente and Michael Steinberg. And then write-in. Now, anybody, from what I understand, anybody that actually made it through the nomination process and actually managed to get any electorate votes whatsoever, you know, during the primary, is perfectly acceptable as a write-in candidate.
I do believe so. I mean, technically, you can write in whoever you want, yeah, just unless
write
they
in
are
Mickey Mouse. But you know,
yeah, it'll be thrown out.
Pretty much, yeah. Unless it'll be trending on Twitter. That's how it's going to go. For United States Senator here in Florida again, Marco Rubio, Patrick Murphy, Paul Stanton, Tony Cloury, Bruce Nathan. He's got two first names. Stephen Machat. And Basil E. Dalak. And then write-ins. Mm-hmm. How about this? Go ahead and write me in. Let's see what happens.
And me.
The Ernest A. Cowan. How would you like to be known, sir? Stephen, what middle initial?
W. It's Stephen W. Griffith. There we go. So, Stephen, do you want to be president or vice president?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, geez. I don't know. I guess vice president.
Okay, so Griffith Cowan, 2016.
Sure. There we go.
You can't get worse. There we go.
You could do worse. That should be the... Yeah, you could do worse. Yeah. Representatives in Congress, District 8. We got Bill Posey, Bill Stinton, and Corey Westbrook. State senators, which are important. You want to handle what's going on in your own state, folks. That's probably more important.
Actually,
than,
controlling your lives are those ones.
Yeah, it's more important really than the U.S. senators and everybody else. So here we have District 14, Dorothy L. Hookill and Richard Paul Dubinsky. NPA. What's the NPA? No party affiliation. That's what NPA is. That's interesting. So we got a bunch of independents running actually here in Florida. Because for the senator, there are four NPAs.
That's good. It makes me really want to, before the election, all for those guys out there, there are plenty of websites that can go into all the policies and everything else, all the voting records of all these guys and where they stand on issues. Research it and learn them so you can figure out who you want to vote for, who actually matches your beliefs.
Yeah. Let's see. So, for the U.S. Senator, because that really, for you folks out there, that's our larger demographic. So, yes, we will focus on that. But, you know, we don't want to get too down into local politics, though we will. U.S. Senator, so Rubio is, of course, Republican. Mm-hmm. Rubio bot is thirsty. Must be lubricated. Patrick Murphy is Democrat. And Paul Stanton is a Libertarian. Libertarian Party Florida, LPF. So Tony Cloury, Bruce Nathan, Stephen Machat, and Basil E. Dalek, those are no party affiliations, so those are your independents. Though, unfortunately, they really just don't have any groundswell. I didn't even know who they were until I'm reading their names right now.
Let's see, Paul Stanton is actually Libertarian.
Yeah, I said Libertarian Party Florida.
Okay.
At least I think that's what I said.
He may have.
Yeah, the other four, those are no party affiliation. So that's interesting. I didn't know about those folks. Maybe we can get some no party affiliation people on the podcast. We need to work on that. Do some interviews. See what they think.
I like it.
For state senators, we only have a Republican and a no party affiliation. It's interesting. State Representative District 51, Tom Goodson, Republican, and Mike Blake, Democrat. Clerk of the Circuit Court, Scott Ellis, Republican, and Dave Netterstrom, no party affiliation. Justice of the Supreme Court, Shell Justice Charles T. Kennedy, of the Supreme Court be retained in office. I love how they just ask, should we keep them or let them hit the bricks? Should we keep them? I don't really know any of these guys' positions, honestly. There are three justice of the Supreme Courts that are listed here. Jorge Labarga and Ricky L. Polston. As well as Charles T. Kennedy. Then District Court of Appeal, Jay Cohen of the 5th District. Should he be retained in office? Then James A. Edwards, also of the 5th District. 5th District Judge Brian Lambert. Judge Vincent G. Torpy Jr. So a bunch of 5th District judges there. Man, it's most of this is judges on the front page here of my ballot.
Yeah, I've always seen that with a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Is just, you know, you have a usually crap ton of judges on a ballot going, eh.
Yeah.
And most people think, you know, what does it matter? You know, okay, just vote to retain or just, you know, kick everybody out, you know.
Which do you favor? Do you favor the new blood or letting people stay in the office?
I honestly, and I have to say I was actually influenced by my parents. I used to be, you know, always, you know, against. But now, especially the last election cycle, I've started getting the idea of, and I really need to start researching each person. And again, as we've seen, these guys can step up to Supreme Court, can step up to national, the actual Supreme Court, not just state. So I like to know where they're leaning.
Yeah.
And how they're sitting, so it will help me go, okay, I want people who are in there who are going to be more accurately reflect either my beliefs or are going to accurately reflect nobody's beliefs.
It, you know, a lot of these judges, though, they don't have a great media presence.
No.
So again, it's actually very difficult to figure out what they're all about.
Again, Ballotpedia, I will now start going after this place. Ballotpedia
mm-hmm.
is a beautiful research website. It's got a lot of stuff in there. Put in very well on the layman's view of things and how to read it. Like Charles Kennedy. Kennedy or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
However, I apologize, Judge, but
it's sorry, it does not list your how to pronounce.
Yeah. It does not list how exactly to pronounce your name on this website. You know, looking at his actually has a section for political outlook on his site, and says that in this test they have for ideology and partisan views, they have a scoring system where a score above zero indicates more conservative leaning ideology, and scores below zero are more liberal. Kennedy receives a 0.87.
Okay, so
this is more conservative than the average score of 0.51 that justices received in Florida.
Okay, so he's more conservative.
More conservative than the average judge in Florida.
Judges in Florida do tend to be fairly conservative as is.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, so Ballotpedia, folks, go check out. Check them out. Apparently, fairly easy now.
BALLOTPEDIA.org. And you can just simply type in the name of the person you're looking for, and they'll give you all their information.
And we'll have links to the show notes, which will, of course, accompany the show and also be available on the webpage for show 128, OReillyRadio.com. Okay, so there's two more judges, one for the 18th Judicial Circuit, Group 9. Stephen Henderson or Christina Sanchez. So, vote for one, okay. And then County Judge Group 2, Kelly McCormick Ingram or Rod Kernan. I know those names.
Oh?
Yeah, well, they are rather prevalent in signage all over the place around here, around these parts.
Well, again, they're for your area. They're probably not for mine because I don't see... Yeah. I don't see him.
No. Then we get into our constitutional amendments, because things that are done, bills that are passed here in Florida end up being part of the Constitution of Florida.
Which is, we are one of the few states that do it, but we are not the only state that does it.
Yeah, and it's a fairly stupid way to do things, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But that's how it is. It makes changing things really hard.
Yeah.
So, which is always fun when they go through the weasel words and make you want to vote against your best interest. Like, number one, Constitutional Amendment, Article 10, Section 29, the rights of electricity consumers regarding solar energy choice. This amendment establishes a right under Florida's Constitution for consumers to own or lease solar equipment installed on their property to generate electricity for their own use. State and local governments shall retain their abilities to protect consumer rights and public health, safety, and welfare, and to ensure that consumers who do not choose to install solar are not required to subsidize the costs of backup power and electric grid access to those who do. The amendment is not expected to result in an increase or decrease in any revenues or costs to state and local governments. Now, based on that, you'd probably vote for it. But what this actually does, in paying attention to the news and actually reading into things a little bit more, this, if you should choose to have solar on your house, you will not be able to feed it back into the grid at all.
Also, one of the key things is there already is a state statute that gives you, you know, the leaving personal use of solar power protected as a right, as a state statute, but it's not on the Florida Constitution.
So it's a law, but not within the Constitution, so a constitutional amendment would supersede that.
Correct. It would make it a more permanent thing, but again, yeah. The way this law is actually written, the way it's actually put in for those people out there, what this does is it really hands power straight to the utilities.
The power
utilities. And the utility companies.
Yeah. So basically they want to be able to charge you for all the things that are going to be attached in your home. So can you still get solar? Yes, you can. However, you won't be able to use it exactly how you want.
And you probably will not be being paid if you bleed more into the grid.
Yeah. So isn't that a pain in the butt?
So vote no on one for Florida.
No on one. That is our recommendation as a Really Radio. Number two, Constitutional Amendment, Article 10, Section 29, the use of marijuana for debilitating medical conditions. Allows medical use of marijuana for individuals with debilitating medical conditions as determined by a licensed Florida physician. Allows caregivers to assist patients' medical use of marijuana. The Department of Health shall register and regulate centers that produce and distribute marijuana for medical purposes and shall issue identification cards to patients and caregivers. Applies only to Florida law, does not immunize violations of federal law or any non-medical use, possession, or production of marijuana. Increased costs from this amendment to state and local governments cannot be determined. There will be additional regulatory costs and enforcement activities associated with the production, sale, use, and possession of medical marijuana. Fees may offset some of the regulatory costs. Sales tax will likely apply to most purchases, resulting in a substantial increase in state and local government revenues that cannot be determined precisely. The impact on property tax revenues cannot be determined either. Yes. Please.
This is the medical marijuana.
This is medical marijuana for Florida, and it would actually put it in as a constitutional amendment. And though, yes, it's still illegal federally, the federal stand on it is pretty much to, we don't know about that until.
Letting the states figure it out and see how it can go.
That's how it's going.
It seems the federal government at this point is waiting for there to be simply enough states that have done it and then enough actual pressure to go ahead and change the law, possibly even do an actual constitutional amendment somewhere for decriminalizing all drugs.
Well, maybe not all drugs, but at least I think we can probably all agree like even people on the other side of the aisle at this point, I think we can agree that this wine that I happen to be drinking for the show is potentially more dangerous than marijuana. And marijuana is yet a Schedule I narcotic. That's wrong. It really should not be a Schedule I. So
yeah, no.
That definitely needs to change. Because with Schedule I narcotics, it can only be a Schedule I if there is no medical benefit whatsoever. And now there are medical marijuana bills and laws in many states.
We see a clear medical benefit for all this.
Clearly.
But again, a lot of what we're seeing, again, as we like to say on the show, follow the money.
Yes.
A lot of the anti-marijuana legislation you see coming out is coming from people and groups backed by pharmaceutical companies because, hi, you can take this drug, which here's the funny thing. People don't realize this. The reason why a lot of these places fight the marijuana bills is because marijuana is a naturally occurring plant, regardless of crossbreed and everything else. Mm-hmm. It is still comparatively a natural occurring plant, which by the actual laws and patent requirements cannot be patented. You cannot patent a naturally occurring object.
Right. What they would do, though, is they would patent a process to extract the THC and turn that into a medical, a pharmaceutical.
Yeah, but they also have you can have some marijuana and solve, like, say, some anxiety problems, some low anxiety, glaucoma, some of the other issues, or which doesn't have any real side effects. Or you can take these 18 different pills, and they all have side effects, and half of the 18 you're taking are to fight the side effects from the first 9.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what they're looking at. It's, yes, it will cut into their money.
It will. Period.
But short-term versus long-term view. If they were looking long-term, they'd be like, cool, let's go. Let's jump ahead of this whole thing and go with it.
Yeah, well, short-term thinking has so far in the last many years only proven that that they don't have any long-term approaches to things.
Again, stodgy old people who are fully entrenched who feel that there's nothing that's ever going to change. And nothing should change.
Yeah.
Because it's always worked before. Oh, look, appeal to traditionalism.
Or appeal to antiquity or tradition. Yep. Okay, so on to the back of the page. Only 3 left here. By the way, that's a yes for medical marijuana. Just go ahead and let's do it. Number 3, constitutional amendment, Article 7, Section 6, Article 12. Tax exemption for totally and permanently disabled first responders. Proposing an amendment to the state constitution to authorize a first responder who is totally and permanently disabled as a result of injuries sustained in the line of duty to receive relief from ad valorem taxes assessed on homestead property, if authorized by general law. If approved by voters, the amendment takes effect January 1st, 2017. That's really small for what it says that it's actually going to do. So I don't know the true breadth of what that will do and what that will mean.
I'm also, again, I like the wording. I like what it says it's trying to do. However,
if taken at face value.
Oh, if taken just at face value, cool.
Yeah, it's
it sounds
no-brainer.
Great.
Of course we want to help. You know,
but
permanently disabled
then
first
people don't realize that the majority of tax that is gotten from people and for things like schools specifically, are entirely funded off of property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So this would deeply, directly cut into that and imagine, okay, it sounds great, having first responders. Okay, let's look at it longer term. So you have all these first responders, yeah, totally disabled, permanently disabled, okay, cool, who then, you know, now move to Florida because, oh, look, we can get a house and not have to pay property tax. And so the amount of people we have no longer paying property tax in Florida goes way up.
Hmm.
Also, being listed as permanently disabled does not mean I have lost my legs and arms, for people who are thinking out there. I've known people who've gone through military. I know people who've gone through police, who've gone through fire, everything else.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are physically or, you know, it seems like they are there. They're no problem, you know. But they are listed as 100% disabled. Yes, I know the process is a pain in the butt to get approved for that, and a lot of them honestly deserve to have that on for their whole thing, to be able to be listed as that, because it makes their lives so much easier and they can actually function.
Yeah.
But, again, this is – people need to look beyond just the, oh, look, that looks really great. Okay, we're helping people.
Okay, so consequences. Yeah, but
look beyond it.
So consequences of this is it would reduce the tax income for the county based on property tax. Mm-hmm. And the property tax pays for schools, really. Yeah. So, which is why in neighborhoods that are predominantly occupied by low-cost housing or large apartment buildings, where the property tax on that is actually significantly lower per capita, you see that those schools suffer. They end up not having the same funding that a school that's out in suburb land, where there's just a lot of houses that all have a fairly large property tax assessed to them all. All that goes to those schools, and they do well. That's just kind of the nature of the beast. So taking that into account, I don't know that this really changes a whole lot, especially given that the next one on the list, number 5, Constitutional Amendment, Article 7, Section 6, Article 12, which is actually in the same spot, homestead tax exemption for certain senior low-income long-term residents, determination of just value. So before we answer number 3, let's look at number 5. Proposing an amendment to the state constitution to revise the homestead tax exemption that may be granted by counties of municipalities for property with just value less than $250,000 owned by certain senior low-income long-term residents, to specify that just value is determined in the first tax year the owner applies and is eligible for the exemption. The amendment takes effect January 1st, 2017, and applies retroactively to exemptions granted before January 1st, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
The retroactive part of that concerns me.
It should.
That's a lot of money that people are going to not be paying into the state infrastructure.
Beyond that,
for those of you that are listening outside the state of Florida does not have a state income tax. We are supported entirely by state sales tax and property taxes. So when you hit something like this, you are taking money directly out of county governments.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more for number 3, which is for the permanently disabled first responders, because heartstrings and those people are automatically already in an area of life that is more difficult to them. So they may be on a more restricted income based on, you know, a number of variables that I don't even wish to contemplate.
Mm-hmm.
As far as number 5, the homestead tax exemption for certain senior low-income long-term residents, I think I have to say no on that one, because of the retroactive exemption granted, and also just because I think that's going to have farther-reaching effects, and also it's how many different classes here? Certain seniors, certain low-income, long-term residents.
Well, long-term is actually described. I have no problem with the long-term. I have a problem with the fact that primarily low-income is not described. It's not determined what that is. Two, it sets the tax breaks for homes valued at less than $250,000. That's the vast majority of homes in Florida.
Yeah, it is. That, and it's certainly, you know, as we were talking about the lower income schools, it is going to directly affect those.
Yeah, it would knock out a number of schools. I guarantee it.
Yeah. Now, of course, seniors are going to say, well, I don't want to pay for schools anyway. I'm past that age. Which is, of course, a short-sighted approach and very selfish.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But, yeah, I'm going to say yes on number three, because I think the impact is going to be lower overall, and I think it's actually going to have a greater effect by allowing those people, the permanently disabled first responders, it's going to allow them to keep more money in their pocket, which will then also increase their liquidity and put more money into the local economy.
Whereas for me, I'm probably going to say no to both. You know, yeah, I would love to say yes to three. Cool. But until we change the actual tax code to where, you know, we get away from the whole thing of the property tax being, you know, the American dream, own your property, nice house, picket fence, and that paid for everything. Yeah, it was great when that applied, but now the majority of people are renting. Until we change the actual tax code, so property tax is not how schools are getting the majority of their funding, I have to vote no on that. Once we change that, I'll vote yes in a heartbeat.
Well, there you go. Two opposing viewpoints on something. We're not always just chuckleheads that agree with each other, that's for sure.
Oh, but look, we actually had an intelligent discourse. My God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see your point. I see your point entirely.
I see yours.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm like, just right there. Just right there. But, I don't think that's the hill I die on kind of thing.
Yeah.
No. And the last one I have is a county referendum, and this would be for my home county of Brevard County, which is where the Space Center is and all that. And it is a Save Our Indian River Lagoon half-cent sales tax referendum to restore the Indian River Lagoon through financing, planning, construction, maintaining, and operating capital improvements and capital maintenance projects and programs designed to improve water quality, fish, wildlife, and marine habitat, remove muck, and reduce pollution. Shall an ordinance be approved levying a half-cent sales tax for 10 years and requiring deposit of all revenue to a Save Our Lagoon Trust Fund solely for such projects with citizen committee oversight and annual independent audits? Question mark? I have to say no, because that's one sentence that ends in a question mark.
But what does it start with? Should?
To restore. Let me read it again.
Yeah, wait, what?
And keep in mind, there are no periods.
Are there at least commas?
There are lots of commas.
Oh, okay, good.
Lots of commas, because it's...
Okay, so this is written by a law student. Gotcha.
To restore the Indian River Lagoon through financing, planning, construction, maintaining, and operating capital improvements and capital maintenance projects and programs designed to improve water quality, fish, wildlife, and marine habitat, remove muck, and reduce pollution, shall an ordinance... Ah, here's the question.
Ah, there it is.
But it's after a comma. So it's not, that should be a semicolon, people. Because it's a clause that, okay, anyway.
Basic English.
Yeah. Shall an ordinance be approved levying a half-cent sales tax for 10 years and requiring deposit of all revenue to Save Our Lagoon Trust Fund solely for such projects with citizen committee oversight and annual independent audits? No, I don't think so. Though I am very environmentally conscious. I think that this is the wrong way to go about it. This sounds like a first-year law student wrote this.
Yeah, environmental law.
Yeah, first-year environmental law student. And though, yes, okay, they did address one of the primary concerns of any of these half-cent, you know, sales tax that they keep putting on, because there was one last time for education. And that's the, well, once they collect it, how can we be sure that it's actually going to the right thing?
The yearly audit, yeah.
Yeah. So this would be an annual independent audit, citizen committee oversight, into a Our Lagoon Trust Fund solely for such projects. These kind of things, I think that it would... that honestly sounds like so much overhead, it would eat all the money just in administering the project.
Yeah, that's actually, the more you talk about that, yeah, the administrative cost of that would be hell.
Yeah, I mean, that's just ridiculous. And for 10 years, that's a job. That's a long-term job.
I think the person at the top is probably pulling six figures. The person who's heading it all up is probably getting six.
Probably a low six.
Yeah, low six, like 120, 140. Yeah.
120, maybe.
Maybe as low as 90 or 85.
Yeah. Now, mind you, if they elect me to do that, then I have something to say about it otherwise, but I don't think that's the way to go with that. So, you know, hate me if I'm voting against the lagoon, but I'm not voting for that. So that's a no from me, and I think that I think you see why I've chosen that. So, folks, that concludes my ballot. So you've got president, vice president, of course. You've got your senators, and of course you've got your district judges and clerk judges and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that you need to deal with this time around. So it is not just about the president. So don't think that you're just sitting it out for that. No, there's plenty of other things than just that in this election cycle, and every election cycle, might I add.
And if every you want, let me throw this out there to our listeners. You know, we've got 3 weeks left. If you want to know anything about in our particular view on some candidates that are in your state, in your local area, maybe certain ballot measures that are in, email the show, email Andy, email me, Stephen. It's STEPHEN at OReillyRadio.com. Send it to us. We'll try to spend our time that we can, which unfortunately we both have full-time jobs, and we will do what we can to delve into it and give you our opinion on it.
We will definitely do that. Oh man, I would love to do that. And you know how you could do that? With our voicemail.
Hi, Really Radio listeners. This is your host, Andy Cowan.
What's that number,
Andy? Calling my voicemail to make sure that it still works. Please consider calling us, 470-222-6759. Bye.
There we go. Unfortunately, Stephen can't hear.
Thank you for pantomiming that.
Yeah. Stephen can't hear the bumpers that I'm playing, so we'll just have to deal with that. So that was just a little potpourri for our current election cycle.